This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies, this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Good evening, everybody. It's Saturday night, and welcome to Truth, Medicine, and Politics. I'm not Dr. Gregory A. Smith. This is Kelly Ebsary, and I'm standing in for Dr. Smith, who's having a night on the town tonight. Tonight, we have a really special guest, James Carman, who is a Renaissance man and a filmmaker who I met recently at the Contact in the Desert event, where he was having a premiere screening of his film, The Hidden Hand. Tonight, we're going to discuss James Carman's award-winning film, The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact, and the Government Cover-Up. The film has been widely viewed on both Amazon Prime and Netflix and is currently available on Amazon Prime and iTunes. His work has been shown internationally at the Sundance Film Festivals, Cannes, Berlin, Toronto, Locarno Film Festivals, and he's currently producing a TV series called Superconscious. James, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. James is calling in from New York tonight, so we're grateful that he's burning the midnight oil to join us tonight.
Yes, it's fun to be here.
So anyway, James, how did you come to be interested in the topic of alien hybridization?
Well, I'd lived in Europe for a long time, and I moved back to the States, and I was producing a series of DVDs about healing. And a lot of the women that were there, like during the breaks, I would see them crying or breaking down or talking about this. And I'd never heard anything about that. This was in the 90s. And I was kind of shocked, but I knew these people and I knew they weren't freaks or crazy. So I just kind of put it on the back burner. And then I started meeting more people that claimed that they had some kind of experiences and also were part of what I would call a secret government. And so that prompted me then just to do more investigation. And as I went along, I felt that it merited making a film about it.
The film is wonderful. It's very well crafted, well documented. You have incredible speakers on the film, many of whom have been on our show and some who are coming in the future. How did you make contact with all of these international celebrities of alien conspiracy, like David Icke, Lieutenant Corso, all of these people?
Like David Icke, I just called up and he said, okay. I said, I want to give an interview with you. And he said, okay. I actually called him up and he was traveling and I knew he was going to speak, and I said, you know, I want to interview you, and he said, okay. He said he just goes by his intuition if he wants to talk to someone or not, and I guess he felt like he wanted to talk to me. So, yeah, that was a good interview.
Wow. I think one of the interesting parts is with Dr. Lear, who's no longer with us, who was he a podiatrist?
Yeah.
And he got involved in removing implants.
Right.
What do you think the function of the implants are?
Well, I don't think we know. I mean, there could be various things. It could be kind of as a tag, like the way we tag animals and track them. That would probably be the basic function. It can be to control at a distance, to kind of get feedback of like what people are thinking, and also maybe download thoughts into them, you know, monitoring their biological systems if they're, you know, if their ovaries are ready to release eggs.
Oh, interesting. Sort of like their little, yeah, are you ready? Are you fertile? Like instead of a thermometer or a test. Interesting. I never thought about it in terms of that. And then there was one interviewee in the film who said after the implant was removed, he actually started to decline in his health.
Right. Yeah, that was Jesse. Yeah, he had had it put in, I think, when he was 4 years old. And then, yeah, his health declined after he had it pulled out. So, you know, maybe they're, you know, we don't know exactly everything that's tied into these being here. I mean, like I saw Whitley Strieber actually in June, and he was, you know, pointing to his ear, and he's saying that he still has an implant in his ear. And he's never had his taken out. I guess he didn't want to, but, you know, it's something you could definitely feel.
Right.
It's like a little lump in the back of his ear.
Mm. Wow. Well, yeah, I found it interesting in the film because you delineate between abductees, contactees, and experiencers. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, like, Whitney referred to himself as an experiencer, even though mm-hmm. earlier, you know, he considered what he went through a rape, you know, mm-hmm. his whole abduction scenario. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with Communion and his classic works about his abductions in upstate New York. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about his story?
Well, yeah. So he's, you know, was a very successful playwright in the 80s. Like he wrote a, you know, Escape from New York and The Wolven. And so he had this experience. And he had a cabin upstate, and he had this experience, and you know, it took him a while to put it all together, you know, and he, and this happened like over years, and then he also realized that this is something that had been happening all of his life, and then he actually went to a school, and this is another phenomenon that's common. I didn't talk about it that much in my film, but where people think they're being schooled and trained to learn specific things, whether it's about technology, whether it's about the environment, whether it's about, you know, how to fly a spacecraft. There's all different kinds of things that people learn. Some people learn kind of how to do an advanced remote viewing and how to deliver, I would say, do kind of reconnaissance and scouting and deliver information.
And is that where, like, the government would come in with a skill or gift, like remote viewing, and exploit it for?
Well, I mean, I think that's something that the government picked up on. The history of remote viewing it was something developed by Ingo Swann at Stanford Research Institute. I mean, Ingo, I knew him personally. He was a very gifted psychic, and you know, it was kind of a development process. But I think that there is a lot of indication that these kind of things went on even before that in a kind of a higher, even more sophisticated level. So, but that's getting all off the, in terms of going back to Whitley. So, a lot of times I've noticed that if you have someone like Whitley, he was talking, he used to call himself an abductee. And, you know, because it was very traumatic, he talked about having, you know, initially he said it was a rectal probe, but later he said, well, it wasn't really a rectal probe. He said he was raped.
Yeah, and that's what the doctor said, too. You've been raped,
yeah,
Whitley.
Yeah, and it took him a while to actually own up to that. And, you know, that's kind of a very hardcore kind of thing, you know, because it's like if you don't have any memories of it, but you wake up and you don't feel good and you're sore and you have these marks on you and it's, it's hard to piece together what's going on in your life. Because none of these memories are usually whole. They're very fractured or fragmented. And, you know, they kind of come together over the years or they don't come together at all. I mean, there's a lot of abductees or experiences who will never even know that they are that because they'll just never have the memories or they'll never think that their life is strange enough or different enough from everyone else's to kind of think about it more thoughtfully. So, yeah, but I've noticed this, like, that, you know, Whitley is a kind of a very amazing man. He's a, in my mind, he's a mix between a scholar and a theologian and a philosopher. I mean, he's just incredible. I mean, he's kind of one of these people that don't really exist in this world anymore because he's very, very broad-minded. Mm-hmm. And so he, as this went along, he started having conscious interaction with some of these beings, and some of the interactions were actually good, and or where he would be downloaded information, and he would learn, and he would come away from with some knowledge. And so, you know, when that's when he started, and it wasn't all the only that. It was sometimes it'd be a good experience or a bad experience in his mind, or, but a lot of times it's very bizarre, you know, just bizarre stuff. And he was having to.
What kind of education and information were they downloading with him?
I don't know. I can't, you know, because it's not like, you know, it's not like they tell you something. It's like a whole image. It's a very dense image package is downloaded, and it's not like you can figure it out cognitively in a way. It's more kind of like an inner knowing, I think. That's the way it works. I mean, Linda Moulton Howe talks about it in terms of, she said that she had interviewed this one U.S. military officer who was made to confront this E.T., and, you know, they said, you know, we know you're going to lose consciousness once you, you know, look at and experience this creature. And this is kind of like this tall, really rugged, virile type A guy. And he said, and it's because this E.T. was like, you know, 4 foot tall. And so, you know, there's in the cell where they kept the E.T., he was there looking at it, and the E.T. was looking down, wasn't looking at him, and it came closer to him, and he could just feel the energy and the presence of this creature. And then when it looked up into his eyes, then he lost total control of his consciousness, and that creature locked into his consciousness, into his brain. And he said it was like being downloaded with 7 3D films all at one time.
Wow.
And it was just too much for him to process, and then he just collapsed, and there were two MPs on either side of him that caught him. And so that's kind of very intense. So you're processing information at a different way in a different magnitude.
But different people have different capacities to process the information, right? Because then the MPs who are just standing there aren't having this kind of experience.
Yeah, but I don't think they were looking into the creature eyes. I mean, I think they were told not to.
It's like working for a celebrity.
Yeah.
Don't look in his eyes.
Well, then maybe there's something to be said about that, you know? Like, who are our celebrities?
Right? I guess you talked about Steven Spielberg when he was getting ready to create Close Encounters, that he received a 25-page letter from the government.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
Well, I guess I think he was working with Dr. Hynek at that moment, and that was he was his science advisor. And
who was that?
Oh, he was, you know, like the the great-grandfather of ufology. He was he's a physicist, and he was originally a debunker. You know, he was like a U.S. Air Force debunker, if I'm correct. And then later he disavowed that, and he said this is a valid area of study. Mm-hmm. And so he trained many people, you know, like Jacques Vallée and, you know, many of the older ufologists studied under him. And so...
And was he working for the government? Was he under a contract, or was he just an
individual? As far as I know, he was. I mean, maybe not at the end of his life, but yes, he came from those kind of government, science, military circles. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know when he stepped out of that. But
was he a part of MJ-12? Who knows?
I don't think so. No. So basically, Spielberg asked for more information, and they just wrote him this long letter about how this is invalid and it's poppycock and it's, you know, he's wasting his time. And so he just felt like for them to take the effort to write such a long letter to convince him that nothing was behind this didn't make sense to him. And he said that, you know, and then it was at that moment he decided, well, there is something to this.
Hmm. Well, tell me about your show on consciousness that you're working on now, the project you're currently working on.
I'm making like a documentary series, and I'm featuring different psychic or channel or healer or people who have special gifts and abilities, but it's all more like that are working in a spiritual realm. You know, it has to do with spirituality, and it's something I've always been interested in. And I feel like it's important to also show the good things that are happening. And I feel like it's talking about the idea of superconscious comes from Sri Aurobindo. I don't know if you know him. He's a Indian yogi. He's really one of the ones who developed Orville. I don't know if you know Orville. It's kind of like a conscious community.
I don't.
And it's pretty amazing if you look at it.
How do you spell it?
South India. Orville. Oriville, I think.
Okay.
That might not be totally correct.
Okay. Well.
But so he is, Sri Aurobindo was an amazing man. He's an amazing poet. He's a spiritual teacher. He's a very, very accomplished man. And he, as far as I know, he's the one who he coined the term superconscious because he felt like humanity wasn't fixed. He says that we're engaged in this process of evolution. We are evolving, and we're evolving, through this internal logic of nature or the logos, if you will, the will of God into kind of a higher spiritual potential. And so that's kind of where I picked up on it. And so I'm playing with this idea that maybe these people who have special gifts and abilities, they're kind of like showing the way of where we can go or what we can become. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just finished the first episode, and I'm looking for TV channels that are interested in it.
Great. I'm sure you'll find an audience and a distributor because...
No, I know there's a huge audience.
Yeah. Yeah, and to that end, like in your movie, you delineate between the four types of aliens that you say that we're interacting with: psychic ones that are kind, mm-hmm. psychic ones that are unkind,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, also, I guess I'm interested in understanding. You were talking to me about taking 100% responsibility and also this and of like having full acceptance of the fact if you happen to be a person on this earth who feels that they are involved in this in any way, mm-hmm. that it's a surrender to like the karma and the fact that you, that's mm-hmm. just the way the ball bounces, you know?
Well, I mean, that's a real quandary, and it's a very radical position to take. It's like what Mary Baker Eddy, you know, in terms of like, if you get sick, you're responsible for that sickness, and you don't take medicine, you'll actually, you know, let God heal you, you know, that kind of thing where you're responsible for everything that happens to you. And that's to seem maybe on one, from one view, and that's maybe a very absolute view if you think about like your past lifetimes and all the karma you accrued, that can really shape what your issues are now and what's happening to you. And but basically, from my point of view, it's a way to get out of a victim mentality. Right. You know, even if someone, you know, punches you in the face, Jesus is going to tell you, turn the other cheek. You don't have to actually be angry at this person or hate this person. You can also have compassion and see that that is also a divine being, but it's one that maybe is clouded in more ignorance than you. And so basically it's a way to step out of the idea of being a victim and take responsibility for your life, no matter what happens. And I think that's a healthy and sane thing to do, because it's very easy to always blame, always blame, always blame, always blame.
Right.
It's, you see so often we're blaming the government, we're blaming this, we're blaming this, we're blaming this. But I think we also have to see, to some extent, we are the government.
Right.
And what's going on now is we haven't taken responsibility. And so that's why there's so much corruption. That's why, you know, there's a breakaway civilization. There's, you know, because we haven't done our due diligence as citizens to even educate ourselves and know what's going on and then act upon that. So that's my point. That was what I was referring to. I mean, and the thing is I don't want to color it to say that there aren't negative things going on.
No, and some people even think that.
I feel that education is key, and I don't want to be like polyandry. We only look on the bright side of life. I feel we have to look at everything that's going on, but still, once you have a feeling or you know what's going on generally, then you have to see what you can do in your life to affect good, not only in yourself, but with those around you.
Right. And some people even talk about like this victim and victimizer programming as part of, like, I never really thought about emotions as a program.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly one that I think is propagated in our culture, is the victim and victimizer programming, where...
Well, just look at TV. When you watch TV, you watch a program.
Right.
And what does that program do? It teaches you how to behave, how to be, right? And so, you know, so much of the programs we watch are about war, you know, and how to be, why we have to fight, why we have to do all this. And it's, you know, we're being trained to be a part of the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same thing with the video games, and it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I remember Michael Tesarian. It was such a revelation when he was speaking in one of his lectures, and he said that, you know, Hollywood, the Hollywood is the wood of the sorcerer,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, basically Hollywood is a place where it's just constant spell casting, which is the same mm-hmm. as basically broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just like setting the standard for relationships and how to behave in relationships. And I think also, you know, there's great value in controllers having the population believe they're powerless. So why wouldn't we want to be victims? You know, like, well, I can't help it. I'm powerless. I don't have any, mm-hmm. you know. But this certainly seems like a circumstance in which one would be powerless. I mean, even if you made a contract to come through in this lifetime and have an abduction scenario, as the gentleman says in your film, it's not a club that anyone would really want to be a member of.
No.
We're going to break now. We're going to continue talking with James after our break. You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Oh, baby, get a look at those. Norm's Baby Back Ribs are back. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak. Starting at $11.99, soup and salad included. Stack up your rack at Norm's. Open 24/7. Normsrestaurants.com.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Hey, gang, today I'm going to show you how to deep fry a turkey. Now, we're going to need some bubbling hot oil and a fat and a few helpers, so I grabbed the kids.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you from open house to closing, you could be headed for a meltdown.
And now that the bird is cooking, let's take a power nap.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Wood look tile shouldn't be one look tile. That's why at the Home Depot, you get a whole selection. And new Montagna 4x28-inch planks start at just $269 a square foot. Longer lengths, narrower widths, and more natural colors mean you can create striking wood look patterns in any room in your house, even ones where you'd never put real wood. Montagna wood look tile and new 4x28-inch planks starting at $269 a square foot, exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, while supplies last.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. Join me on Sundays at 12 noon for delicious conversation. This Sunday, legendary chef Jacques Pepin stops by to share his new cookbook, and we'll go gluten-free for good with author Samantha Senevarotny. I'm live on Sunday at 12 noon right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you guys about Northwest Rugs and Furniture. Did you know they've been locally owned for 24 years? They've got the largest selection of rugs on the West Coast, and they pride themselves on having quality rugs and furniture at affordable prices. I should know, I bought a rug about 10 years ago that I still have in my dining room. Northwest Rugs and Furniture has a diverse selection of dining room, bedroom, and living room furniture. There's a huge sale going on right now with 25% off and lowest prices of the season on rugs. Make sure to visit their new store in Sherman Oaks and visit nwrugs.com.
Any Joe Schmo knows Geico will work to save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not just ask the savings?
That's me, Joe Savings. I'm not literally $1 million, but I feel like it. Why? Because when Joe switched his car insurance at Geico.com, his monthly rate went down and the savings went up. Now he uses the handy Geico mobile app anytime to check out his policy perks. Talk about a win-win and two thumbs up. Man, I wish I had thumbs.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 8181 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 8181. America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 3636 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3636.
The Rethink Kitchen and Bath event is going on now at the Home Depot, with great new ideas for the busiest rooms in the house, like the Delta Porter 8-inch widespread bronze bath faucet, now just $119. With a stunning high-arch spout and oil-rubbed bronze finish, it's the difference between taking a bath and taking a bath further. Rethink the kitchen and bath with a Delta Porter widespread faucet, now just $119, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, valid through October 1st.
Any Joe Schmo knows GEICO will work to save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not just ask the savings?
That's me, Joe's savings. I'm not literally $1 million, but I feel like it. Why? Because when Joe switched his car insurance at GEICO.com, his monthly rate went down and the savings went up. Now he uses the handy GEICO mobile app anytime to check out his policy perks. Talk about a win-win and two thumbs up. Man, I wish I had thumbs.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 8181 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 8181.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we're back. This is Kelly Ebsary, and I'm on with my very special guest tonight, the award-winning filmmaker James Carman, who made the film The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact, and the Government Cover-Up. Before we went to break, we were talking about accountability and victimization. And, you know, I want to talk about the sexual programming in our culture that seems to be an echo of this kind of... I know there was one of the abductees who, or the experiencers, or the contactees. Okay. I'm not sure how she defined herself, but she talked about actually being treated with something that made her hypersexual so that she was more easily harvested, or I don't know. I just feel
she was made hypersexual, so she was more compliant.
Compliant.
In that. Right. Program, which basically it had her having sex with a human alien hybrid to carry out a hybridization program. So she would make babies. It was a refining of that hybridization program that she was a part of, and it was known as a very young child that she was part of this program, and that was kind of her purpose as far as they were concerned. So they, she was programmed to have these children.
Right. Well, in general, in the culture, it's the culture is so hypersexual and it's so over the top, and it just seems to be getting, and I mean, I can't even imagine what's going to happen with the implementation of virtual reality. I mean, I think the next version of the Samsung phones are going to have, you know, VR attachments, and I can't imagine what other kind of attachments. And it's just, what is this with sexual energy, and do you believe that our sexual energy is being harvested? And if so, by what and for what purpose?
Well, I think our sexual energy is being harvested, but I think all energy is harvested in the sense, like, we eat plant and mineral and animal matter, and that to we use that for our energy, for to keep our body together. And in like ways, there are other higher dimensions, higher frequencies that feed off of the energy here in this dimension. And so if you are connected to a more positive energy, more loving energy, you're feeding those kind of energies, those kind of beings in the higher realms. Uh-huh. If you aren't, if you're into race, war, if you're into, you know, war in general, murder, hatred, in just very base sexual energy, then you're feeding other kinds of entities.
Interesting. I call them
maws, because I can see them actually, you know, these kind of these huge, they're these huge negative entities that are just sucking up energy.
Moths, so, I mean, M-O-T-H-S?
That's just my word, because it's kind of like a black mouth or a black hole, I feel like, yes, there is a kind of design in our society to make as much negative energy as possible. You know, if you just have to look at, you know, our entertainment, you know, where, you know, we make war films for so that we won't go to war again, but it's just all killing and hatred can you imagine if you're watching a theater blockbuster like that with all the sound effects and everything and just all the raw emotion that's produced, you know, it's just like a funnel going up into the dimensions that can be tapped into. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there are beings that are tapping into that for sure.
Interesting. I never thought of it in a positive aspect, but I've heard it referred to as luge, this kind of dark energy that's created by anxiety or sexuality outside of the heart-centeredness, and it's like they're butterfat. That's what they dig. But I never thought of, I mean, I always thought more of the love energy and being heart-centered as more of a protection than something it's like a force field. It's an energetic that we're sharing, but I always feel like that's my inoculation against those kind of darker entities and energies.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, you kind of where you are is what you attract, and, you know, what you're thinking, how you're vibrating. If you're vibrating at a higher level, you're going to attract higher level experience into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're aligning to like a higher divine purpose and not just living in service to self, then you are going to be aligning to those higher divine entities in the higher realms and other dimensions.
Right, and that would be another reason to stay in victimhood, because anybody in victimhood is going to be in service to self, because they feel like they're in crisis and they have to be fixed, or, you know, the attention, right. They're sucking attention into themselves instead of emanating energy.
And you're feeding that whole wheel of negative energy, just constantly producing negative energy, being stuck in that, you know, self-hate and depression and obsession.
Right. Yeah, you talk about the symptoms of people who have survived and who are ongoing in these multi-generational relationships or contracts with different entities, and you know, they kind of are the same kind of symptoms of anybody who had any sort of sexual trauma or sexual abuse. So I wonder if that's sometimes even just a screen image, as was discussed in your film, where there's like an overlay of something that's like a more human story that is also horrific in my opinion. But it's right. Something that at least makes sense. Like, oh, you know.
Well, I mean, there's a lot more of it kind of intertwined than you might think. You know, there's a lot of different aspects to that, because there's a whole occult aspect to that, you know, and then there's that ET aspect to that, and then there's just, you know, plain stupid, you know, aggression, sexual aggression on young helpless children.
How would you differentiate between the occult aspect and the ET aspect?
Well, you know, I think that the ET aspect, you know, there is an interface on some level between the ET and the human world, you know, in the occult realms. And so I feel like there's a kind of a cultivation of those energies. You know, you can call it soul energies, and beyond, you know, wanting to use someone as a
battery,
just as a breeder for whatever. You know, there's a soul energy, there's a vitality that, you know, if you're an aggressor and that you're trying to actually take, you know, it's not only like they're getting off sexually, you know, there's something even more primal than that, and that's wanting to acquire that vitality, that soul energy of whoever it is that you're victimizing.
Right. And that's, I mean, what is the relationship between satanic cults and ETs? Is this an extension?
I can't say I know. I'm not an expert on that, but there is a connection between the occult, you know, and ET on there is one, and I don't know enough about it. But, you know, there are kind of secret societies where ET agenda starts interfacing with a worldly agenda. And, I don't know enough about it to talk at length.
Well, what do you think's happening, like, in terms of all of this talk about the shift and we're moving into higher vibrations and we're moving into another dimension. And it's been, you know, it's been going on for a while. And I mean, I can see in terms of people's consciousness and people's awakening process and being able to process information that was outside of their teaching. So, I mean, it's kind of like you accept as truth what you already know to be so. Mm-hmm. And it seems like people are certainly more willing to examine things that are outside of what they may have been exposed to in their lives. But ultimately, what's happening?
I see that everywhere. I mean, I see the world becoming more and more polarized. You know, I see the whole Big Brother police state becoming much, much more virulent in clamping down all over the world. The whole specter of artificial intelligence is a way to monitor what's going on and control what's going on. I feel that that's really been amped up. And so, I know, obviously, there's so many things, you know, the military, industrial, pharmacological, media complex, you know, where it's just like, you know, people are being kept dumbed down, you know, just so we can be stewarded in a very idiotic way, and, you know, force-fed vaccines and food that's horrible for us. And, you know, so there's all those processes going on. But on the other end, I see people really waking up, you know, and it's happening. So I feel like we're in a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we'll see where we come out the other end. I feel it's good to be attuned with kind of this living as a positive and useful life as you can. But I think it's very important not to just say, oh, I'm not going to look at that because it's negative. And because if you don't have an idea of really what's going on, then you'll be fooled every time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very easy to fool people who are totally innocent, right?
Right. And as this, like, bifurcation unfolds, do you think it becomes less likely that people can, like, the further polarization occurs, they can just switch out, like, as all of a sudden wake up? Because it just seems, especially, you know, you mentioned the vaccinations. I mean, in California, they're just starting to enforce SB 277, which is mandatory vaccinations for children. And, you know, I saw a video today of a kid who was you know, playing a message that came from her school saying, well, you haven't had your Tdap, you're behind two of your MMRs. And the little girl, she's probably about 10 years old, and she's just laughing and like, that's not happening. Like this 10-year-old. And then I'm thinking, holy cow, they're going to take this video, they're going to call Child Protective Services, they're going to use the video as evidence, and they're going to do like a medical kidnapping, because like that's what's been happening. I mean, they're medical kidnapping children whose parents are non-compliant. I mean, it's terrifying.
Right. Well, that's what you can do for your own child. I mean, it's like you can move out of California, you know, or do something because I feel like, you know, that's a huge issue. And I know it was a huge fight there, but I feel like that's something where you don't have to, I mean, everyone has different circumstances, but you know, we have to band together and create something positive if we can.
Well, yeah. I mean, Dr. Wakefield and Andrew Bigtree they're doing a huge campaign. They're crisscrossing the country on a bus, and there's been a lot of awakening going on around that issue, because that's an extremely divisive issue, because it involves mm-hmm. people's care and love for their own children, and mm-hmm. when you question somebody's decision, you know, it becomes like you have to defend your own position. You can't have acceptance for what the other person does. Like, if you believe that the MMR causes autism, how are you not going to say something? Mm-hmm. Like, if you see a precious 3-month-old baby in line at the grocery store and you just want to say, hey, have you heard about this? Do you know this? Mm-hmm. Have you seen this film? Like, this kind of, you know, and there's just so many healthcare workers, many who are leaving the profession because they just can no longer be a participant in this kind of like poisoning. It's poisoning.
Yes. No, it is. And that's where we have to band together. We create something else. You know, and the thing is I think it's, if we can create something, anything you fight, if you're trying to fight the pharma industry, you know, it's going to be hard going. But if you create something else where, you know, you don't even have to interact with the pharma industry, then, you know, like, I don't take any medication, like, you know, I never have, you know, and so it's like they're on the periphery of my life. Obviously, if I had children, that would be a different issue. But my point is that move to what you can create positively,
right?
And then that can build into something else, an alternative, where we can leave that other stuff behind,
right? It just becomes so invasive. I mean, like this, there are many vaccinations, and we had Leonard Horowitz on the show, and he called it out 3 months ago, the whole conspiracy with the Zika virus and many, many vaccinations that are already in the, you know, pipeline, mm-hmm. and they're having legislation now for, you know, required vaccinations for adults, and it's like completely outrageous. And it's like, how do you, like, are we just supposed to go live in Wyoming on reservations for people who have free will? Or I mean it just seems so divisive and destructive. And to that end, I also feel like part of this, you know, what seems to be purposeful dismantling of the financial system and many of the other control grids, which are fine, I don't mind if they go down. You know, I've always mm-hmm. been an artist. I don't have a lot to lose, in other words. Mm-hmm. And we all have a lot to gain. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the more desperate things are, I've also noticed that it's almost the more you can disconnect from that whole system, the easier it is. And it seems like a much faster time to actually create what you need and what you want. Like, I've just had so much synchronicity in my life. The more I can detach from all of the fear and limitation that seems to be offered right now by the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I mistakenly got involved in some political discourse on social media, and it was just, I was like swallowing poison.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. To my point, you know, what is it that you can make? What is it that you can create with others that's positive, that turns you on? You know, that's what I'm interested in doing. And, you know, I have to you know, do regular jobs, and I'm not like I can't live in a hermetic bubble and just, you know, pray to God all the time. But I feel like, you know, it's important to, you know, have positive movement in your life, or strive to, you know, let's create something that we're, that turns us on. Let's create something that we're proud of. Let's create something that moves us forward as a society.
Right. And that's, you know, the thing with having all the screens, like we're just constantly receiving, instead of transmitting what is our own unique creativity and our own unique vision and our own unique ideas that we don't even, like the more we become passive receiving all of this information. I mean, and like I said earlier, like once we have on these virtual reality goggles, like I promise you, I will never put on a virtual reality goggle, and I certainly won't have an implant in my iris. But yeah, it's just like it is, you know what, it's pretty much like a full-time job to be in prayer and meditation, to receive downloads and information about what we're supposed to do, you know. Mm-hmm. What can we contribute, what can we create, where can we be, and it, you know, just to tap into the synchronicity that's still available, and I actually think is even more available to us. And I think that's, what do you think, how do you think that plays out in terms of our awakening? We have 3 minutes left, by the way. What is if the greatest thing possibly happened in the next 5 years in terms of mankind's awakening on the earth and spiritual evolution, how do you see it playing out?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's going to take a while, but just the ideas, like divisiveness, separation, hate, you know, making enemies, if we can do the opposite of that, like taking responsibility for everyone who's here, educate everyone, give shelter to everyone. And that means the animals too, you know. It's like, let's stop slaughtering elephants. You know, if you start seeing that everything is interconnected, everything is a whole, it's part of this one huge ecosystem, then, you know, it stops making sense to just slaughtering parts of it to where we don't have a foundation to live on. You know, if we're polluting the sea, if we're polluting the air, if we're polluting ourselves, our children, you know, it's so rapacious. There's going to be less and less and less for us to build a future on. So I think it all has to do with being less concerned about yourself and more concerned about everyone and everything around you. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, it's like to include them in your club, you know, and it's just like, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I'm, you know, I hate Big Pharma, I hate this and that, but those are people too, and they've got their lives and their families and all that, and they've got their approach why they do things, and instead of, you know, making them enemies, let's include them and give them the chance to change, include them to, that maybe they could want to do things differently or change things. I mean, you know, corporations are changing now in quite dramatic ways. And so it's not beyond the pale that, you know, some of these, you know, that military companies could then go into space exploration and without just wanting to, you know, only make money through weapons. I mean, I know that it's all very far-fetched sounding. But it's kind of where we could head towards.
Thank you for being part of the solution. Wish you the best of luck with your TV series, Super Conscious. Check out his film, The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact, and The Government Cover-Up. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a beautiful rest of the weekend.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.